with communication made me feel a little bit frustrated. And at some point, in some degree, it was a terrifying experience because I'm not an outgoing person. I tell you the truth, who might not care too much about making mistakes.
Okay,
unless I was sure of using the correct words and the right expressions, I wouldn't have opened my mouth at all. So this was very challenging in the beginning, I tell you.
Okay, Father, thank you. So it's time for our final break, but we'll be back shortly to conclude our discussion on mission and transition.
Many couples don't understand the beauty of natural family planning because of misinformation of its effectiveness for achieving or postponing a pregnancy, or they have never been told about how it works. Marriage Ministries has created an easy way for couples to learn about NFP. It is available on a website called learnnfponline.com and is a course that teaches the Billings ovulation method on demand, so you can work through it at your convenience. Through this online course, couples will watch a video of the science, rules, and application of the method with a testimony from a young couple using NFP successfully. If you are working with engaged couples, preparing for marriage yourself, or are already married and would like to draw closer to your spouse, check out Learn NFP Online for yourself. Go to learnnfponline.com or marriageministries.com today.
Welcome back to Mission Matters Live. I'm Edwin Rondon of the Mission of the Office of Mission Education for the New Evangelization, and I'm talking with Father Lucas of the Divine Word Missionaries. So, Father, do you have anything else to share of your experience on transition?
Oh, thank you very much for giving me another opportunity to talk about one more important thing, and I think this is the most important thing, which is culture. So culture has to do with customs, ways of doing things, and lifestyles, among others. And transition in terms of culture does matter a lot. When talking about culture as part of the transition process, it is really an ongoing event throughout my missionary experience. So it's not just in the beginning of the transition time from one country to another, from one culture to another, but it is an ongoing process of transition. So preaching the gospel to people from one culture to another, other than mine, has been always a challenge, but I have to admit that this first experience was the hardest one. For the people, it wasn't easy at all, because for the first time they had a non-Brazilian or European priest, not being able to speak Portuguese the way they do and use the same expression they used to. There were many misunderstandings in the beginning, but slowly I was able to connect with people easily, because from time to time you learn out of your persistence and patience, and also you keep learning and learning from your own life experience with the people.
Mm-hmm. So as you know, every baptized person is a missionary. We are on mission every day of our lives, and we also experience times of transition, which sometimes make our lives difficult. So how can we face or deal with times of transition in our lives?
Well, thank you for asking this question, but I consider this question is a fascinating one, because every one of us experiences some kind of transition in every aspect of his or her own life, and it happens daily. Also, as I said before, the difficulties are there because the transitions are not always easy to go through, and they are also personal. Each of us has his own and her own experience. I cannot speak for anybody else's problems and give the exact remedy for that, but in general terms, I may say that living out our faith as baptized Catholics, we are called to take part in the church mission on earth, which is to bring Christ's message of love, of hope to all people from every nation, race, and culture. This is our missionary task at home, at our own places where we live. So I think that missionary situations are parts of our daily lives, both here or elsewhere, and the transitions as well. Pope Francis' constant friendly reminder for all of us to take care of one another both spiritually and physically, especially the neediest ones in our societies, should be a moment of both faith renewal and missionary reinforcement. Not that all of us must leave our places and homes to serve others in faraway places, but we can offer our constant prayer and any other form of support to our missionaries in the field, both religious and the lay people. And one thing, when we open our mind and our hearts to welcome people from other ethnicity and culture in our church communities, we are doing our missionary task at home as well. This is very important. And my simple advice for you, how can you deal with the transitions in your own lives as baptized people? I only can say, be happy. Be happy as Catholics and strong supporters of the Church. As Pope Francis said, we cannot do our missionary task without the Church. And we know that the Church is not ours, but it belongs to Christ. And we are only the partakers. Christ is the head, and we are the members.
Thank you, Father, for your time. And we are at the end of our broadcast, and we hope you've enjoyed our conversation this morning. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email via our website, wearemissionaries.org. We'd love to hear from you. I want to thank Father Lucas and our listeners for participating in our conversation today. Be sure and tune in again on Thursday, February 20th, for more on mission. But for now, God bless you all and be on mission wherever you are.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.
The Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Join me, Chuck Neff, and our panel of spiritual advisors for The Inner Life. Get reliable spiritual direction from highly experienced Catholic priests who are able to guide you through the complexity of issues confronting your personal relationship with God. The Inner Life, heard here on Relevant Radio every weekday.
That's The Inner Life with Chuck Neff, weekday afternoons at 1 on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Welcome back. This is Bob Gilligan talking with Jim Duffett for the Campaign for Better Healthcare. We're talking about health care coverage and the Health Care Justice Act, a little bit about where it is. Jim, while we were gone, we had another few phone callers. Let's take those, if we can, real quickly. And I think we have Michael from Chicago.
Oh, yes. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. You know, you had mentioned you were not in support of health savings accounts. And it seems to me, well, capitalism does work in the sense that people are, you know, have a vested interest in their. First off, we have the best medical system in the world, and even if people go to the emergency room, they still have access to the best medical care in the world. And a socialist approach by saying that the reason we have the best is because of the free market. And health savings accounts allow people to save money, have a vested interest in their health care, and to spend it wisely. So you said that people wouldn't necessarily, if they had the health savings accounts, wouldn't address chronic issues or, you know, but mm-hmm. But really, the incentive is to take care of your health, and at the same time, not penalize the medical system through some sort of socialized approach. And
go ahead, Michael. Continue.
And that's my point. If the goal is to increase access to medical care, but still maintain, U.S.'s lead in healthcare leadership, and there's so much criticism of pharmaceuticals. There's so much criticism mm-hmm. Of medical care in the country, and yet on the other hand, we do have our life expectancy far outpaces other parts of the world. Certainly, because we do have the best medical care. So I don't think that a socialized approach is the answer. I think health. I'm a big proponent of health savings accounts because it allows people to see the money that is being spent on their behalf, whether through insurance or by their employer or through their own contribution, and then make wisely choose how they spend their money.
Right.
When they do go to get that care, so when they look and they say, well, I don't think someone, if they're having chest pains 3 in the morning, is going to start economizing. They have that money. They know that they have access to it, and they're gonna actually push for. Like any consumer, you buy the best car. You don't buy the best car for your. You buy the best car you can for your money, and so I think that's sort of an unrealistic interpretation of what people do with money. When they see it's their own, they're more inclined to take care of it.
Mike, I think we got your point, and it's a very valid point, and it's something that the administration that's currently the Bush administration has been pushing, and I know as well as in Springfield there's some talk about it, et cetera. And I think you bring a very very valid point. Jim, do you want to comment on Michael's point at all?
No, I think we had numerous great discussions
about
this, and I mean I guess several different thoughts. I mean, one is should we be treating health totally as a commodity? Like I'm going out buying a new refrigerator this weekend, and for those who have the money, well, they get to get the ones that have ice cubes and water on the outside, and others who don't have the money get lesser treatment. Even in terms of cost, anytime the wealthy in the world have any problems with them, where do they come? The Cleveland Clinic, or they come to Loyola, or they go to other places around this country. Absolutely. But you know what's interesting is when you step back and you look at the World Health Organization, you look at all the indicators. I mean, the one thing that the United States is number one in is spending on healthcare dollars. We spend more money per individual in this country than any other Western industrialized country in the world. We'll spend like $6,200, $6,300. The closest country is Switzerland that will spend about $3,300. And if you look at life expectancy, you look at a variety of other health indicators, we actually come up 37th in the world in terms of the quality of care that is here for all of us. I mean, Cuba, Trinidad rate a lot higher. What we're talking about here isn't a socialized system. We're not talking about the police department and the fire department and the military, which I would suspect you support, which are actually, you know, socialized healthcare or socialized systems. We're not that at all. This is, you know, the doctors will still be private, the nurses will still be private. What we're looking here is to figure out a way that everyone has some responsibility into the system and figure out the best way that people can be can get that care. I think the other point I want to say is go to the website of your hospital and your doctors. Try to pull information down about them. You know, what's sad and is the level of transparency in our system is that I can tell you more about the refrigerator that I bought, the energy savings, this and that, how long the food will stay in this component and all that stuff, versus what I can tell you about the hospital that I'm going to or the doctors that I see. So for consumers to actually even be given that power to make that choice, that information has to be available for good consumers to be able to, and again, you have to have the financial means as a consumer to either have a computer to go online or go down to your public library, depending what the hours that they are, especially if you're working two jobs or something, your library may not be open. But there's also that information gap that unfortunately is out there that would not help us as good consumers.
Yeah, and Jim, very well said, and I think Michael has a legitimate point as well, and HSAs, that's a component of this debate. To what degree it's a component, I think society at large and public policymakers need to determine. But I think you bring up a good point, is that health care is for all, and we need to make sure that all are at least receiving basic human services, basic human needs. And I'm being told we have to take another quick break. We have another caller on the line waiting to come in, and we are talking with Jim Duffett for the Campaign for Better Health Care. Jim has talked a little bit about health insurance and health care and trying to come up with proposals to extend it to more who are in need, especially around this holiday season. This is Bob Gilligan. We're taking phone calls for another 9 minutes or so, actually 8 minutes or so, at 312-751-1979. We'll be back after this brief message.
Charity's annual celebration of giving is underway. Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago invite you to join in the celebration of giving this holiday season. I'm Father Mike Boland, asking you to help children and their families unwrap the spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or better yet, hosting a toy gathering party. For more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Again, for more details, call our Celebration of Giving hotline at 312-738-1674 or visit us at www.catholiccharities.net/celebration. Make a difference this holiday season. Donate to Catholic Charities.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a Christmas greeting for Relevant Radio listeners. Dear friends, as we prepare for the glorious celebration of Christ's birth and the promise of His return in glory, we look again at the many ways that we meet Christ in our lives. May the presence of the newborn Christ bring the blessings of peace and love upon your family in this season. Thank you for listening to Relevant Radio, and Merry Christmas.
This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're joined by Jim Duffett. That cold's starting to get to me now, Jim. Jim Duffett of the Illinois Campaign for Better Healthcare. We have about 6-7 minutes left to go in our program, and Jim, you've been very helpful enlightening listeners about what's going on out there, in addition to the coverage that they're getting from the mainstream press. I think we have another phone call on the line. Mary Louise Curry, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Bob.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Great conversation this morning. Of course, my concerns are always about preserving human life and the sanctity of human life, and especially at the most vulnerable stages, which are the very beginning and the very end. And I just was wondering about how this might impact, for example, care to those such as Terry Schiavo, whose death was hastened by the withdrawal of nutrition and hydration in a way that's, you know, not in conformity with our Catholic faith. And I could see this as being a temptation, as a cost-saving measure where, you know, we might say, let's do the greatest good that we can with the resources we have. And in some cases, then, human dignity might be basically pushed aside. And so I was just concerned about that and wanted to ask that of your guest today.
Jim,
excellent question, there wouldn't be a calculator that would say, "Geez, this is going to cost us $1 million, so let's get rid of that person's life." I mean, I think all that example and other examples, I would argue that the beauty of this debate is to raise those issues up higher. When do we, you know, whether it's her or even myself, whatever age I'm in, and my wife happens to work at the oncology department at a local hospital here, and so I'm constantly picking her brain and her reactions to families once they reach, you know, that conclusion, whether that conclusion is reached between them and the person, their God that they believe in, or their family members, to make those determinations. And I know personally that sensitivity, we'll be fighting for that sensitivity so that those decisions can be made by people and medical staff together, and whether one outweighs the other, meaning individuals outweigh, you know, what can be done, that will be up to their choice to be able to do it. But I think the beauty of this debate is those are serious issues that have to be raised in a public context. And whether they are put into policy or there's still a gray area in terms of allowing people to make those options and make those choices, I mean, that's something that the debate will be around, but that's something that I know we'll be pushing, is that people have to come to terms with their own life.
Mm-hmm. Jim, we got about 2-3 minutes left to go. Where does this go from here? We have a report that's out there. The press is reacting to it. I'm sure others are reacting to it as you go forward. So what happens now? What's the process?
Well, several things. I believe the legislation or this report will be introduced as legislation next year, and the governor is going to come up with his own affordable, accessible, quality health care plan. And we will wait to see what he has on the table. We know that there will be one or two other proposals that will be on the table. And, you know, then there'll be that public policy debate in Springfield on how to go through. The law does state, but again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, that by July 1st of 2007, some form of an affordable, accessible, quality health plan for all Illinois residents needs to begin happening. And again, we view this as like a 3-year phase-in that needs to happen. And would urge people, you know, we've got a faith caucus and many other caucuses that are doing a lot of things in raising this issue as a moral imperative and other perspectives also, to go to our website, which is www.cbhconline.org, and get involved, because all our voices are vital to this debate.
And how about a phone number for those that don't have access to the internet?
They can call our Chicago number, which is 312-913-9339, and they can ask for Jonathan.
And you have a downstate office as well, I believe, right?
That is correct.
Okay. And all over the state as well, and I'm sure this is going to be an issue that's going to be continued to debated in the upcoming weeks or months. And I think it's interesting also to point out that most of our conversation has been on the state public policy level here this morning. It seems like, although Congress, I know in the past, has tried to tackle this issue, it seems to have been doing so perhaps incrementally at best, given states some more funding options, such as the CHIP program that extended coverages to low-income families and their children. And so it seems like the state is kind of where the action is these days.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly where things are happening. I think there it's the pilots for the country, which we hope this becomes a larger issue, you know, in the next 4 to 6 years at the national level, but it's definitely at the state level.
Absolutely. Jim, let me just take a minute or two to thank you for participating in our conversation here this morning. I think judging by the number of phone callers and their level of interest, you can see that this is a hot topic, not only amongst the secular community, but as the Catholic radio listeners as well. And also like to thank all the phone callers who were able to chime in this morning. This is Bob Gilligan, the director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and this will probably be our last show for the year, unless they call me on an urgent need like they do from time to time. So I'd like to thank everybody for listening and to join us again on the third Monday in the month of January. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful Christmas and a great new year.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.